This time together, we hope will help us to get to know the Breckenridges in a little different fashion. So I'll be asking some questions of you individually. I'll ask you to pass the mic. Some questions I want to you to all ask the question or answer the question. But one thing I think is correct, I think you told me this, David, is that all five of you were born in a different place. Is that right?
Yep.
So tell us where you were born and maybe a little bit about what it was like as you grew up there.
I was born in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I don't really remember much. We moved before I could remember much, so.
I was born in the great state of Austin, Texas. And all I remember there was tornadoes. That's it.
I was born in a little bitty town in Nebraska, Scottsbluff, Nebraska, which is on the Western Panhandle. And I would say what I remember about that is it's probably the prettiest place in Nebraska that you could be. I mean, that's not saying much because Nebraska's really ugly, but yeah, it's right on the Colorado border, right in the corner by Colorado and Wyoming and all of that, so yeah.
And I was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and about 60 miles off the Gulf Coast, which very much relates to the Gulf Coast, and college town. It was a good place to grow up. When I came here, people were worried about me because they said, "Can you handle humidity?" I know humidity.
I want to say Hannah was also born in Louisville, Kentucky. And I must say that her obese doctor was Dr. Pino.
It's just a great name.
All right, so we're going to move right along. And so I know that David early on felt called to ministry. Leanne, did you always want to be in nursing or the medical profession or helping for? How'd you navigate that? When did that proverbial light bulb turn on? Why have you stuck with it? Because there are easier ways to put food on the table, I'm sure.
I actually wanted to be a school teacher, and everybody was saying, don't be a teacher, they don't get paid. And so,
so you went to nursing.
Well, I know. So my roommate, who is my best friend in high school and also my first year roommate at Mississippi College, said, "Come to nursing. Come be a nursing major with me." And I ended up being the nurse, and she didn't. But at the time, I thought nurses were the people that sent you home sick from school. I didn't know they worked in the hospital, and so, anyway. So it has just gotten bigger. So now I do both. I teach school, and I am also a nurse. So. And I love it.
Yeah. So tell us how you got into nurse education. Was that a natural progression, or did you?
So what am I teaching? And so I've taught for 32 years in the School of Nursing. And so pediatric and women's health are my two specialties. And so that's what I do now. How did I get into teaching? I always loved students when I was a nurse in the hospital, and I would always pull them under my arm and, "Come on, we're going to go do this and we're going to learn this," and found myself just really loving that. So then when David finished, I went to the University of Kentucky and got my first master's, then took some time off, always wanted to be a nurse practitioner. They were like, "Oh, they'll never make it. PAs will take over the world," which is a physician's assistant. And so once the kids got bigger, I went back and got a postmaster's as a nurse practitioner and then got my doctorate from the University of Alabama. But I'm not an Alabama fan, so.
Just to be clear.
All right, so I do know that So Seth, you, even in some of those pictures as a young child, you have a fishing pole or a fish in your hand. So I want to ask you, was that always, I mean, just as soon as you started doing it, did you say, gosh, I really love this and want to continue doing this for a long time, or was it a gradual thing? Tell us a little bit about your love there.
Hold that mic, that'd be great.
Definitely, well, when I first started out, we were just fishing a farm pond in Fayetteville. Mike was still a baby, maybe even before then. But what happened is that Dad, we would just take it out to a friend's pond nearby, little farm pond, and of course, drive through cows and stuff like that just when we get there. Don't worry, no cows were harmed in the making of that. But, you know, we would drive past him, you know, got to see him. Got this little, like, pond. Well, what really got me hooked on fishing was the fact that there were dragonflies everywhere. Not the small ones, but the big ones. And, like, wingspan was probably that big. That's like, he's looking down like, I probably should not have caught that dragonfly. Yeah, he caught a big dragonfly, of course, put it on a hook, threw it near the other side, and like this much I remember, he was doing something else in somewhere, like probably checking some other rods. We just laid the rods down on flat on the ground. I happened to look over to that one particular, like, you know, bobber, cork, whatever you want to call it, with the dragonfly on it. He was still on top of the water. I looked down over there and I see this boom, and all of a sudden, like, the rod was being dragged in the water. It's probably been launched down the bank, but my dad just runs, I think he runs after that rod. He would just hold the rod up while I rode in the fish. That's all I remember. So, yeah. And then, after that, you know, we caught, like, about 3-pounder, I think. I mean, it wasn't a big one. He swears, like, he says I have better memory right now. Like, I know, like, detail by detail, I'm like, even I'm not sure about that one. It's been so long ago. But still, that's why I've gotten, like, hooked on. That's why I said that. Play on words there. But ever since, I've been wanting to go fishing every day of my life.
Me too.
12 months a year, 365 days a year.
Well, and Mike, a similar question. I saw baseball. I saw soccer. I saw football. Maybe as a teenager, how'd that progression go? Did the football coach see you kicking soccer balls and say, give it up, you're coming over here? How'd that work out? Tell us about that.
Well, I grew up playing baseball, basketball, and soccer mainly. And then my baseball coach in middle school was also the football coach there, and he knew I played soccer. Mm-hmm. And I just came out, and ever since I love, like, the camaraderie of, like, a football team and stuff, so I enjoy it a lot.
Good deal. Well, I appreciate your sharing that. So so this is a question for everyone except for David. What is your husband and father's most annoying habit? I'm curious to know. You may need to... I don't know if you need to whisper the answer in your mama's ear first, but I'm curious to know. Because I know there's something there. Can you share? This is grace abounds here, so.
I don't know if this is most annoying, but I was most, like, uncomfortable when he would sing in his sermons.
Good thing I've never done that.
I don't even think I can top that. I'm basically just stumped now. I don't know when we'll get to all that. But, gosh, what was it? Maybe they just come back to me. I'm like, I'm lost now.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, repeat the question.
What's David's most annoying habit?
Oh.
Don't worry, I will not be asking him the question.
No, he doesn't have a lot of habits. I really don't.
He's hanging different.
Yeah.
can tell you what annoys me. Would that be cool?
I'd love to hear that.
So he doesn't hide his expressions very well. Whatever he's thinking, it comes out on his face. And so sometimes and Mike is a really good, he can really play David well, but I'll walk in, he'll be really frustrated with me, and he'll be going, oh, like rubbing his head, and I always get upset, like, just scream at me or something. Right.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Since you can't hide, I'd love to play poker with you. So, question for you, David. If you were not a minister, what would you like to do or be professionally?
gosh, be a lot of things. I would. I'm trying to think how to describe this. In Memphis, we had an outdoor amphitheater shell that had the Levitt Foundation actually paid for the refurbishment of the shell. And Levitt Foundation is about sponsoring events that draw the entire community together. And so they have free concert series that run throughout the spring and throughout the fall, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, and there will be from 1,000 to 5,000 people who come and enjoy these concerts. If I could be at the helm of that and be putting that together and integrating music, which I love and adore, with that kind of a sort of vision out there in a community, I do that.
That's great. I thought it might be like radio disc jockey or something, but you know, very similar. David's musical tastes are eclectic and wide-ranging and very good. So,
but it don't bother you to sing.
But
right. There's a reason I didn't say singer. I'm a realist. I can.
So do you recall, for all of you, your best family vacation?
Well, I think that's really challenging in terms of because Seth is very much into fishing, and that's what Seth does, and Seth doesn't care to do a lot else. So finding, and Leanne does not fish, and Hannah doesn't care to. So finding things that we all do together, when we, a lot of times we go places and sometimes we go our separate ways and we're coming back in the evening and some of us are hiking and some of us are doing other things. I might throw one out because we actually all did it together and we had a lot of fun with it. Right before we moved from Lynchburg to Memphis, we all went to just the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. And we were all there together, and we did everything in the Inner Harbor. We went to an Orioles game. We did all this kind of thing. We went to see the movie Night at the Museum in the museum. And they actually had a big Tyrannosaurus Rex at the top of the stairs, and I remember going and all of us doing that and walking back in the rain, and that was a lot of fun. That was a good 3 or 4 day vacation.
We've been to the Grand Canyon twice, and I will say that that was incredible, but also very terrifying as well, because they don't have rails, and you're like, as a mother hen, like, get back. But that was always fun.
One of my favorite locations, too.
Y'all probably know what mine's going to be. Probably the most memorable one I remember. It wasn't like the size of the fish, or just the. It wasn't much the size. It wasn't much the fight of the fish. It's actually one of me and my dad. Like as far as overall, with all of us together. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Let me scratch that last one. It's just me and my dad who went on that one. My mistake. But one I think, you know, we all went on to. My mom didn't really enjoy the part where we got in the water. The water was cold, I admit that. It was when we went to Hiawassee, Georgia. And they had like this tubing down this one river. That was like the only other thing I found that I loved in that area. Of course, me being now, I can't even come close to being in there. Like at the bottom of every single part of the river. But when I was younger, like, it's so hard to believe. Like, first time, I was struggling to keep up with them. They were always around the next bend. Me, I smoked every single one of them. They're like, Seth, slow down, Seth, slow down. I'm like, I can't slow down. I can't make the stern current stop. That's, and also you can fish in the river, so kill two birds with one stone.
I was gonna say Hiawassee, Georgia too, as well.
Yeah.
It's a pretty neat place.
So Micah, you're a very accomplished athlete and play a lot of different sports. Is there a sport you wish you were better at than you are? Something that whatever it just didn't take for you.
I'd probably say baseball. I love baseball. Mm-hmm. It's yep. Very. I mean, I love to catch because, you know, I was involved in every single play. But you know, I was decent, but I wasn't good enough to continue after high school or middle school.
So if you could go pro in any sport, what would it be?
Probably soccer.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I just think soccer as a game, you know, it's pretty. It's a game of improvisation and I feel like it's definitely an international thing that, you know, all of us like everybody has in common.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. You could take 11 people from 11 different countries, don't speak the same language, put a soccer ball on the field, you figure it out very quickly. That's a really great thing. Seth, best fishing spot you found in this area?
We true fishermen don't give out our spots.
Okay, very good. Second favorite spot.
No way, I'm not giving that out.
That's great.
I will say this. The ones I do give away are generally just ones that are public spots where, like, anybody can go to. As far as, like, ponds, you know, things that are really, really restricted, I keep those my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Ponds are parts of the river that I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Well, I know there's a big fish in there.
So you don't have to be real specific.
Yes, yes, I know.
Where you like to go.
Obviously, the James. I fished the James ever since I was, like, young. Before I moved to Memphis, I was like, can I fish the James one more time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Any sort of small stream or creek or little small river like that.
Yeah. Leanne, if you could hire someone to do either your cooking, cleaning, or yard work, what would you choose? You can only have one.
I would have to say cooking. I'm not a cook. I don't enjoy it.
Don't.
So we eat out a lot. We go to Anna's house because she cooks.
Anna's not disagreeing with you.
Dave, do you have a hero, mentor in ministry that either was a teacher of yours or someone you've tried to model ministry after? I found that lots of ministers we have someone in our lives who has helped us along that path. In particular, tell us a little about that if someone comes to mind.
Yeah, I could probably name several people. I think probably the most significant would be Keith Tonkel. Keith pastored a relatively small inner city congregation in Jackson, Mississippi. It was a historically white congregation, which by the time I grew up was in a 99% African American neighborhood, in a depressed neighborhood. It was the only church of white origin that stayed there. The rest of them fled to the suburbs. You would see them boarded up. You would see wire, sometimes barbed wire, outside their facilities. Keith stayed. Keith was a freedom rider in the civil rights movement. He was a graduate of Millsaps College, came back to Mississippi. He stayed at Wells Methodist Church for 36 years. That doesn't happen in the Methodist Church. Keith was too good of a fit. He also did the Methodist Hour. You can go online and listen to him and see all his YouTube stuff coming out of Mississippi for about 25 years. They were scared to move Keith because they didn't know who could go back into that situation and do what Keith does. Had a ton of social ministries, an interracial congregation, and he, at a time when the Southern Baptist Convention was coming unhinged, and I was doubting whether I wanted to be a Baptist minister, maybe even a minister altogether, I was assigned to him for a church and community course, and he redeemed ministry and what it could be for me. He would stand. They would do the opening part of the service. Then he'd come off, and they'd sing off the podium. They'd sing Happy Birthday. They'd sing Anniversaries for Sobriety. And then he'd finish up that time, and he'd say, "It's time to say the creed. And if you can't say it all, that's all right. You say what you can until you can say it all." And then people would stand, and you'd hear people leave phrases of the creed out. And then they just got on with loving one another and being church. And I thought to myself, you know, I've heard about priesthood of the believer all my life, but here's a Methodist minister treating me as an equal with that kind of approach to faith who's really showing me what it's all about. And I've told this story before, but coming out of the experience, I was very enamored with the Methodist Church. And I was beginning to think I might want to become Methodist. And two things kept me from it. Number one, I spoke with Keith about it, and Keith said to me, he said, "David, I'd sponsor you in a heartbeat, but after all this blows over, there's still going to be Baptists in the world who need a minister like you. It's your roots, it's what you know, so stick with it a while longer. Go to seminary. If you still feel the same way, come see me and we'll do it." The second thing was, Leanne and I were not yet engaged, but we had made rounds around ring counters, and I had posed hypothetical questions to her. You understand what I'm saying? As to which one she might like if someone was to present her with one. So we were right there. And I was explaining to her in the quad of Mississippi College, I was thinking about becoming Methodist and what that meant, including the itinerancy of Methodist ministry. And so Leanne looked me in the eye and said, "Now let me get this straight. The bishop tells you, you got to pick up and go, and you got to pick up and go." And I said, "Well, you have input into the process, but at the end of the day, yeah, that's the way it is." And she said to me, "Well, let me let you in on something. The bishop can tell you where to go, but the bishop ain't telling me where to go." So, you know, when your mentor and your spouse-to-be are telling you this is not the path to go down, you take it back to the Lord in prayer. So I'd say Keith, yeah.
That right there tells me everything I need to know about Leanne. I love it. All right, so, serious moment. I love to ask this question. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Mine?
Everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone. I don't mind starting. Mine was Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Mine was Leif Garrett. Does anybody know Leif Garrett? Oh my gosh. I had posters and John Travolta, posters of John Travolta. I was going to marry John Travolta. He still doesn't know it. But anyway. And Leif Garrett. Now, Leif Garrett ended up being a cocaine addict, I think. Not good.
First celebrity crush. This is safe space. You can tell.
No, I mean, I was of that era. Everybody had the Farrah Fawcett poster. So maybe? I don't know. Seems like I'll be thinking of someone else, but that's all I can pull up right now. So we'll go with Farrah Fawcett. All right.
I really didn't have one, to be honest.
That's
all right.
Micah, do you have?
He has a man crush.
No. I just only want to go fishing with them. That's not mean. My buddy Bill Dance.
We
do know each other. One of the three legends, you know.
Yeah.
He was the big idol for me.
Good deal.
I'd probably say Hope Solo. She's a goalie for U.S. national team.
That was just a silly question to embarrass you. But tell us about some of the fun things you've discovered about Richmond. And coming from Memphis, I know it wasn't barbecue. Because I've eaten in Memphis. But tell us about some of the fun things you've discovered in or around Richmond, or would like to. Recommendations
I guess the main thing for me is it's a very outdoorsy city with the James River and stuff, and there's a lot of companies and stuff that do things through the James River, and I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. The laugh says it all. You guys know what mine is going to be. You guys already know.
Yeah.
I'm out of water.
I would say the absolute beauty of the place. I cross over the bridge, or two bridges, I think, to go to work every morning. And I think to myself every time I cross over those bridges, I get to do this every day. I get to look at the beauty of this city every day. And the other thing I love about it is that it's got beach on one side and mountains on the other. And you can't beat that.
It's a couple sort of, well, not sort of, the Virginia Capitol Trail. I bike. I've gone out with Don a couple times. And I really enjoy that. And down Highway 5, that's sort of a new... And we lived in Lynchburg for 5 years, so we had the whole Blue Ridge kind of thing. So this is sort of seeing that part of the state is sort of new. The music junkie and me, there is a public radio station, WNRN, which is out of Charlottesville but has locations about 7 across the state. It's independent radio, and... if I were going to design a radio station, it would be very close to this, and that is genuinely unique. You don't find that in a lot of different places, so for what it's worth. It's 88.5. The transmitter that's out of here is across the river, so if you are in far western out here, the reception's iffy. But if you're across river or downtown or from here, in Rico kind of area in, it's you get it still really well. But it's in Charlottesville, it's in about 6 or 7 other cities across the state now.
That's the one that comes out of Tech, is it?
No, it's in Charlottesville.
Virginia Tech, that's a good one as well. This
This is all music.
And
total
David
music,
had,
yeah.
David mentioned it to me, so I started listening at 88.5, as he said, radio out of
for what
Charlottesville.
It's worth, yeah.
But driving around town, I've never lost the signal. So town, I think it's really good. If you like particularly independent music, it's really, really good.
It's eclectic, and it's
a little
not top 40.
No.
Yeah, not your top 40.
Yeah. So we've got about 5 minutes left. I can ask these questions all day, but I'm dying to know the ice pack story.
Okay, our first date. Did I start at the very beginning with the ask part?
Yeah,
all right. So okay, all right. So Mississippi College, first off, is like on campus is like 2/3 female. It's a good little Baptist school, so everybody sends their daughters there because they don't want them to go to the state school and all the guys they'll see there. So, you know. So the odds are in guys' favor, which is great. So they have girls' social tribes and men's service clubs. We don't have fraternities, sororities, but those are the equivalents. Leanne was actually the president of her girls' social tribe. And so they have formals and dances, and they will ask the guys to their formals and dancers, and we will ask the girls to ours. So so anyway, Leanne calls to ask me out to this formal, and my college roommate, David Now, was there, and I wasn't, so he took the message. And he told me about it, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll call her back. I didn't know what she was calling for, you know.
He did not so, even know me.
No, that's not true. All right. So, there's a piece of that that's true. Anyway, all right. So part of the deal is an MC's campus being a good Baptist school. If you get asked to a formal, you just say yes. Because if you don't, you're blackballed for like the next year and a half. And So myself and David Now and a friend of ours, Chris Stanley, were like walking across campus, and David says, did you call Leanne back? And I said, oh, no, I didn't. And so we ended up in the lobby of this dorm and girls' dorm, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and call her back now. So I walk over to the desk phone, and I call her, and she asked me to the formal, and I say, sure, I'd love to go. And I go back and I sit down, and I'm right across the desk from this. This was her dorm. She has a friend of hers working the front desk. And at this moment, I'm still sort of fuzzy as to who I've just accepted this proposal from, but a little fuzzy. And, you know, so anyway, so Leanne burst in the door, running up to her friend working the desk, saying, he said yes, he said yes, he said yes. I'm reading a newspaper, like, right here. And then it occurs to me who Leanne Lewis is. And I sort of raise the newspaper up, just thinking I'll save her embarrassment and I won't be seen, except for the fact that our two friends are on the floor laughing at this point. And her friend at the desk can't even speak because she's laughing, and all she can do is point. And at that moment, Leanne looks and sees me, and she screams, and she tears back out the door and runs upstairs. So that's how it began. So on the front end of this dance, her and a bunch of friends were going to take all their dates, and we're going to do for a picnic lunch at the Vicksburg park, the military park where the Battle of Vicksburg was fought. And so that's only like 25 miles from Clinton. And so we're all getting in there. So gosh, this is a long story, isn't it? So first thing is my car had a problem. My car had this problem where the window had fallen off the groove, you know? So it was fine as long as you put the window up and you rolled it all the way up and you didn't mess with it. Well, I neglected to tell Leanne about that, so she rolls it down and ka-chunk. So we get it back up, but you know, she's aware that, you know, this door's got a problem and she can't really close it hard or mess with it, you know, so she's concerned about this now. So on the way there, we had friends making fun of us in cars in front of us. They'd pull in front of us and they'd say, don't be a door hugger, Leanne. And they put cans on our car while we were there, like wedding cans at one point, and made fun of us. But at the park, Leanne is we get out at this one place, and Leanne's trying to be careful with the door, and so she slams.
Wait. You can say that. I was just in awe of this man, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, the sun is setting. We're at the top of the river. We're gonna watch this beautiful sunset." So you've got to get in my mind where I was.
She was distracted. But she was also concerned about this door. And so she's trying to close it without the window going ka-chunk, right? And so she slams the door on her thumb.
Oh,
so then I have to come and we get the door open and she's got this finger and everything. And
the door was locked, too. Because
she locked the door. And so I had to get the key out, and so to get her thumb out. You noticed in that picture, she was sitting there with a bag of ice. This is the bag of ice. So all we had, someone had brownies in a Ziploc, and I'm just throwing brownies at people and say, "We need the bag." And so we get ice, and she puts ice on her finger. And there's a few other details to the story, but we finished off the night. I think the moral of the story at some level is, of all those people who went with us on that trip, except for my college roommate, we're like the only happily married ones in the whole crew. I mean, they made fun of us that day, but man, we have made it and lasted. Yeah.
I'm sort of shocked there was a second date. Not to mention that you've gone the distance. So that's really.
Our first date was February 23rd.
Sweet. Breckenridge family, we are delighted to have you here in Richmond and at River Road Church. We've enjoyed getting to know you a little better through the time that you've been here, but also through our conversations tonight. I've said before, David, I think it was you who were telling us that at a Vesper service during Wednesday night, that when people tell you their, that's okay, when people tell you their story, you were quoting someone else, you ought to take your shoes off because you're really on holy ground. And there is something about the way we grow together as brothers and sisters, but also see the leading of God and the blessings of God in each other's stories. And so you'll notice that we've been doing a little bit of this, quite a bit of this over the past couple of years, of sharing one another's stories and also hearing from you. Important in all that is not just that we as ministers' families, we want you to get to know us better, but hopefully to model the fact that you have a story too, and it's worth hearing, and for all of it, we give thanks to God. So, thank you for being here, brothers and sisters. Can we close with a word of prayer? God, we are grateful for the day you have given us. We are grateful for the way that you have brought David and Leanne, Seth and Micah, as well as Anson and help me, Hannah, thank you, our way. We are grateful for the love that they share and with one another and with us. We pray that you will continue to bless their family as they are a blessing to us. We're grateful for the family ties that we share here at River Road. And we pray that always, always, God, we would open our hearts and arms open wide to all those who would want to call this place home, and that we would share what we've been so richly given. Be with us as we depart from this place and bring us back safely for worship, for fellowship, whatever the case may be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's express thanks to the Breckenridge family tonight. Right. And Anna, what do we have coming up next week?
Next week we're going to be doing a preview of the Bible study that's going to be taking place on Sunday nights. We're going to be learning about Soul Feast, and hopefully it will encourage you as you're thinking about whether or not you would like to be a part of that.
Excellent. Preview of Bible study. Excellent. All right. Thank you for being here. Say your prayers before bed.